The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and joints and the marrow, secreting of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening we return back to the text of Genesis. We will begin chapter 29. We will deal with verses 1 through 9 as a group. All right, because of Christ's work on the cross, we can not only find eternal life, eternal forgiveness, but we can find experiential forgiveness without running through the mill of gyrations. Simply through an act of confession, acknowledging, citing our sins known and unknown to God, a rapid recovery system from our sin of life has been provided for us so that we can, rather than let our sin nature rule over the real you, the soul, we can let God the Holy Spirit rule over us experientially through His filling role, and in this way be in a state of spirituality, serve God. This is how we are to serve God. The only way we can serve God experientially in this respect, if you're out of fellowship, then whatever you're doing is not glorifying God. You will not see any recompense favorable to you at the Bema seat in that regards. You must be in fellowship, and then obviously you must apply the truth of Bible doctrine in combination with being in a state of spirituality for these things to count and to glorify God and to find a reward, SG3, and the things associated with it in this vein. Only through this system are these things possible. I didn't make it up. All I'm doing is telling you what the Scriptures has revealed to us in this respect. We put it together, and by being in fellowship and seeking the truth of doctrine, God therefore blesses us and enlightens us in regards to the truth, and we are able to advance ourselves and then do what is right before God and before man in this respect. So as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if you need to, so that we can once again this evening not only enjoy fellowship with one another, but fellowship with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in this vein. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for the revelation of it, so that we can know what you expect of us, that we can have all the spiritual apparatuses necessary in order to be spiritual, to have fellowship and union with you experientially, in spite of the fact that we live in sinful flesh. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in chapter 29, the text picks up after Jacob spends the evening and has his dream, divine origin, that we dealt with in chapter 28. And the narrative moves fairly rapidly as it covers all the ground of his travels and brings us to his arrival to Haran. And here at this point in time, in verses 1 through 9, he sees Rachel is to be wife for the first time, one of them. So, looking here at the Hebrew the language, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the lands of the sons of the east. Then is a wow conjunction or wow consecutive. The phrase went on a journey is literally the cal verb imperfect third masculine singular nasa in a sa. Literally means to lift, take up, carry. Translated went. Then you have the proper noun Jacob. And then you have the common feminine dual construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, our word literally for legs or feet, regel, R-E-G-E-L. And he carried his feet, or his legs, is the literal Hebrew. And came to the land of the sons of the east. Wow, consecutive. Then we have our normal verb that we see for traveling purposes. It's our literal word for walk. It's the cow and perfect third masculine singular, halak, H-A-L-A-K. Came to, land is your common feminine singular noun construct, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Sons of the east, first you had the common masculine plural noun construct, our word for son, sons, ben, followed with our noun, common masculine singular absolute, word for east is kedem, Q-E-D-E-M. Verse 2, and he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to look is the cow and perfect third masculine singular, ra'ah, R-A-A-H. Then you add a wow conjunction, followed with the interjectory particle, a word of exclamation, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. And he looked, and behold, literally. The behold is not in the translation, English translation. And what he saw was a well. Look and behold, a well. It's translated saw, but it's literally behold. Common feminine singular noun, absolute, there, our typical word for well. In the field, preposition bet, definite article. Then the common masculine singular noun, absolute, our word for field, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. And behold, here they translated it, wow conjunction, henna repeated, interjectory particle. Three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it. First you had the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. There is the translation. In our number three, adjective masculine singular absolute, shalosh, shalosh, S-H-A-L-O-S-H. Flocks is the common masculine plural noun construct, eder. E-D-E-R, eder, of sheep. You call them flocks. Since they're sheep, you had a common both singular noun absolute, tison, T-S-O-N. Lying there beside it, lying down, cow participle, denoting continuous action, masculine plural absolute verb, rabats, rabats, R-A-B-A-T-S. Beside it is a preposition all with the third feminine singular suffix. Antecedent is the well, A-L. For from that well they watered the flocks. For, because is conjunction key, K-I-Y. From the well, that one literally, preposition men. Again, our noun for well with the definite article, common feminine singular absolute. There, followed with the definite article and the pronoun, third feminine singular he, H-I-Y. Again, the feminine agrees in gender with the well, from the well, that one. They watered the flocks. You had the hifil verb, imperfect third masculine plural, shakah, S-H-Q-A-H. They caused to drink, caused to make drink, or watered. The flocks, again, definite article, and our noun, eder, E-D-E-R. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. You had the wow conjunction. Then the definite article and our noun for stone here, Eben, E-B-E-N, was large, is the adjective feminine singular, absolute. Obviously, the noun's feminine. I didn't parse that out for you. Our word for large or great is the adjective gadol, G-A-D-O-L. On the mouth of the well, literally in the Hebrew, ends the sentence here, preposition all, A-L, upon, followed the common masculine singular construct, our noun literally for face, peh, P-E-H. Well, definite article, bare, common feminine singular absolute, upon the face or mouth of the well. Verse 3. When all the flocks were gathered there. Well, consecutive. And then first our verb together. In the Hebrew, the niphal, perfect, third common plural, asaph. A-S-A-P-H. There is your adverb sham again, S-H-A-M. All the flocks, literally. Yeah, the common masculine singular noun construct, kol, K-O-L, followed with our noun again, eder, flocks, common masculine plural absolute. They would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep. First you had then, or wow, consecutive. Then you had a cow, perfect, third common plural, our verb to roll away, to remove, galal, G-A-L-A-L. Here to fit the type of object they're removing. Stone, you had a sign of direct object, a definite article, common feminine singular absolute, eben. From the mouth of the well, the same construct that we saw earlier, preposition men, followed with the preposition all, upon. Mouth is face, common masculine singular construct, peh. Ha, bear, the well, definite article, common feminine singular absolute. And water the sheep, well, consecutive. Again, our verb to cause to drink, to water, hence to the hip fill, perfect third common plural, shaka, S-H-A-Q-A-H. Sign of direct object, denoting what they're watering, definite article. And then our noun for sheep, again, common, both singular, absolute, tason, T-S-O-N. And put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Well, consecutive, then our verb to return, hence to put back, the hifil, perfect third common plural, shub, S-H-U-B. Sign of direct object, definite article, common feminine singular noun, absolute, eben, stone, the stone, E-B-E-N. Upon the face of the well, or upon the mouth of the well, preposition all, followed with the noun peh, definite article, and then our noun for bear. For well, bear, again, same construct we saw earlier, common feminine singular absolute. To its place, literally. Preposition lamed, followed with the common masculine singular construct with the third feminine singular suffix, makom, M-A-Q-O-N, makom. Verse 4. And Jacob said to them, asking three questions here, my brothers, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, Jacob, wow, consecutive, our verb to say, cal and perfect third masculine singular, amar, A-M-A-R. To them is the preposition lamed here with the third masculine plural suffix. That being Jacob, proper noun. My brothers is a common masculine plural noun construct with the first common singular suffix, ach, A-C-H, ach. My brothers, from where are you, literally. You have the preposition men, followed with the adverb ayin, men, plus ayin, A-Y-I-N. Are you is the pronoun, second masculine plural, atem, A-T-T-E-M. And they said, while consecutive, our verb amar, A-M-A-R, in the plural this time, cal imperfect, third masculine, from Haran, preposition men, follow the proper noun Haran. Are we, literally. Are we is at the end of the Hebrew. We place it in the beginning in our English. Pronoun, first common plural for we is anekenu. A-N-A-C-H-E-N-U. Anekenu. The second question, and he said to them, typical construct, while consecutive, followed with our verb amar, cal imperfect third masculine singular, to them, is the preposition lama with the third masculine plural suffix. Do you know Laban the son of Nahor? Do you know is the first interrogative particle ha, followed with the cal perfect second masculine plural verb, the word to know, have information, yada, Y-A-D-A. Sign a direct object, proper noun, Laban, name transliterated. The son of Nahor, our noun, son, Ben, B-E-N, common masculine singular construct. Proper noun, Nahor. And they said, we know, well, consecutive, cal imperfect, third masculine plural, amar, again, said, and then yada, repeated, Y-A-D-A, cal perfect, first common plural. We know him is understood. And the third question. And he said to them, is it well with him? Again, our typical construction grammar here, while consecutive, are followed with our verb amar, to say, cal imperfect third masculine singular, to them, preposition lama with third masculine plural suffix. Then you, again, you had the interrogative particle ha. Is it with a question mark? And then our word translated well is the common masculine singular noun absolute, shalom. That means peace, at peace, hence well, physically. And otherwise, S-H-A-L-O-N, no turmoil in his life. Hence, everything's fine. For him is a preposition lama with the third masculine singular suffix, or with him. And they said, while consecutive, follow the verb amar, imperfect third masculine plural. It is well, simply they repeat shalom, common masculine singular absolute noun. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. While conjunction, followed with the interjectory particle again, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. And behold, or look exclamatorily, is the idea. Rachel, proper noun. His daughter, common feminine singular construct, with the third masculine singular suffix, obviously Laban's daughter. Our word bath, noun bath, B-A-T-H. She is coming in into the periphery there by the well. You had the cal participle, feminine singular absolute, denoting she's on her way, even though maybe at this point in time she was not completely visible, but she's in the process. That's the participle, force of the participle. With the sheep. That's our verb bow, excuse me, B-O. With is the preposition in, I am. Definite article, followed with our noun, to sown, T-S-O-N, common bow singular absolute. In verse 7, And he said, he being Jacob. Vowel consecutive, the third masculine singular verb, callum perfect of amar. And he said, behold, this is the interjectory particle hen, H-E-N, shortened, low. It is still high day. You had the adverb od, O-D, or ode. And the Hebrew, the day is great. You have the definite article, followed with a comma, masculine singular noun, absolute. Word for day is yom. Then followed with the adjective, again for great. Adjective, masculine singular, absolute, gadol. Yom plus gadol, G-A-D-O-L. Hence, the day is at peak period, at its brightest. Hence, high day, noon, noonish. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. You have the negative low, L-O, follow with our noun for time here, common both singular construct, et, E-T-H, O plus F. It is not time. Then our verb together is a nifal infinitive construct, asap. A-S-A-P-H. The livestock, whether it's sheep or whatever, that is the idea here. You have the definite article, comma, masculine singular, absolute noun, makina, M-I-Q-E-N-E-H. It could be translated cattle, livestock, herds, etc. Here translated livestock. Any of the grazing animals. For the livestock to be gathered, the livestock follow with then the three commands that he gives the shepherds here. Water the sheep and go pasture them. The nerve, this guy. You have the hifel imperative, masculine plural verb, first cause to water, shakah, S-H-A-Q-A-H. The sheep, definite article, follow with our noun tison, T-S-O-N, common both singular absolute, and vowel conjunction. Go is literally our verb to walk again, callum. Another imperative, masculine plural, halak, H-A-L-A-K. Pasture them. Pasture them is the cow imperative, masculine plural, raw, graze, and graze or pasture. Feed them, let them eat. Verse 8, but they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered. And they said, vowel consecutive, our verb amar, cal imperfect, third masculine plural. We cannot is the negative particle lo, L-O, plus the cal imperfect first common plural verb yakol, Y-A-K-O-L. We are not able. Until is the preposition ad, A-D. Then you have the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R, until which, literally, they have been gathered. Is the nifal imperfect third masculine plural verb asaph, again, together, A-S-A-P-H. All the flocks. Common masculine singular construct noun, all is kol, K-O-L, followed definite article, and our noun for flocks, eder, E-D-E-R, common masculine plural absolute. And they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. The while consecutive. Then our verb again to remove or roll away here, cal, perfect third common plural, galal, G-A-L-A-L. Sign a direct object. What they are removing is the stone, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, Evan, Evan, E-D-E-N, from the mouth of the well, the same construction as our preposition men, follow the preposition all, and the noun pe for face, common masculine singular struck, definite article, and our noun for well, bear, B-E-E-R, beer. The stone from upon the face or mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. While consecutive, our verb to water again is shakah, S-H-A-Q-A-H, cause to give drink. The sheep, definite article, ha tason, T-S-O-N. Verse 9, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. While is the adverb with the third masculine singular suffix, ode, O-D. Follow with the PL participle, masculine singular absolute, davar, D-A-B-A-R. Speak, can be translated speak, matter, things. While he still was speaking, literally. With them is the preposition in, I am, with the third masculine plural suffix. Then Rachel, literally. While conjunction, proper noun, Rachel. She came. Is our verb to come into, came from, come into, bo, B-O, a cal perfect third feminine singular, with the sheep, preposition M, again I am, definite article, ha tason, the sheep, common both singular absolute. Her father's sheep, you have the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R, followed preposition lamed, and the noun for father, common masculine singular, struck with third feminine singular suffix of, which were for her father, literally. For she was a shepherdess, noting her job on the plantation here, on the ranch. You had a conjunction key, K-I-Y. And then shepherdess is the cal participle, feminine singular absolute, here obviously used substantively, as literally for pasturing. Again, our word ra'ah, R-A-A-H, female pasturing sheep is a shepherdess. Was she, literally. Pronoun, third feminine singular, he. He in the Hebrew is she. Who is he? He is she in the Hebrew. All right, rereading the verses again here. Then Jacob, carried his feet or his legs and came or walked to the land of the sons of the east. Verse 2, and he looked and behold or saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep are lying there beside it. For from that well, they watered the flocks, they being the residents in the vicinity. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. Obviously, if you're going to water livestock, it's got to be a fairly sizable well. Verse 3, when all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Verse 4, and Jacob said to them, my brothers, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. 5, and he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know. 6, and he said to them, Is it well with him? And they said, Shalom. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. Verse 7, and he said, Behold, it is still noonish, or high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep, and go pasture them. Verse 8, but they said, We cannot, until all the flocks are gathered. And they roll the stone from the mouth of the well, then we water the sheep. Verse 9, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Analysis of verses 1 through 9. Chapters 29 through 31 of Genesis record the next 20 years of Jacob's life spent in his involvement with his uncle Laban. We know the time span was 20 years via Genesis 31:41, where Jacob recalls to Laban, These 20 years I have been in your house. 13, 14 years for your 2 daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. Should have joined a union. So, 29, 30, and 31, 3 chapters. We cover 20 years of Jacob's life. And this, as it revolves around being with his uncle Laban in this respect. 20, so much for the short time planned previously. Again, remembering back when Rebecca, in her plan scheme for Jacob to leave, that it would only be for a short time, Genesis 27:43-44. Go see your uncle Laban for a little while. Well, 3 chapters later, we're 20 years down the road. He hasn't been home, has he? No, he hasn't. So again, a reminder of what may seem, under the energy of the flesh, the easiest way out ends up being the rockiest road to hoe. Can be that which is most detrimental. When you avoid applying doctrine, you want to go with the energy of the flesh, come up with your own agenda instead of God's agenda for you. That which might have been hard or was hard at the point in time actually balloons, and it ends up being a curse in your life. See, Rachel came up with this scheme of deceit, and her favorite son, she doesn't get to see him anymore. Say goodbye, Mama. I'm leaving home, and it's not on a jet plane, and I won't be back soon. If you're old enough to know that song, then you're probably close to my age. Sorry for that. So chapter 29.3 then records Jacob here, meeting his relatives, Laban and family. That's verses 1 through 14. Give you a little outline here of the chapter. B, 7-year service for Rachel. That encompasses verses 15 through 20. C, then we have Laban's deception in verses 21 through 26. D, then we have 7-year service for Rachel. Repeat. Verses 27 through 30. And then it closes out, with Jacob's sons with Leah, verses 31 through 35. 4, the text brings us here to the end of Jacob's long journey to the vicinity of Haran. It's estimated that Haran and Padan Aram was some 500 miles away from where Isaac resided there in Canaan. And obviously, after the dream, you're still looking at probably a good 400 miles, give or take. As that would have been a couple, 3 days journey, covers 60, 80 miles on foot, if you're moving at a good clip. So, 500 miles a day, obviously you jump in your car, you do the speed limit, you're there 8 hours, easy. In the old days, you're talking, well, figure it out, put it in 30 miles a day into 500. Now that's a month-long trip, man, or more. By himself, in rugged country, it wasn't going from one state to another state where all the citizens had the same rights and privileges. You never knew what was out there, not only with wild animals, etc., that women had to face, going through mountains and things of this nature and desert, but aggressive tribes and people and criminals and things of this nature. So he makes a trip, and here immediately in verse 1, the narrator brings us to the end of that long trip. 5, now the phrase, went on his journey, in the English, in the New American Standard. In the Hebrew is, quote, lifted up his legs or his feet. Nasa regal, or regal. 6, this colorful language, in part, looks to his determination to walk, translated came to, our verb halak, such a distance, again, some 500 miles. You have to be a determined individual to push yourself day after day to go the distance. So, in addition to that, 7, falling on the heels of the context, ending chapter 28, exposing Jacob's doubt and trust in God, it further insinuates carrying a mental burden of questionable success in completing his travels. That is, he's carrying a burden in walking here. He has to lift up. He's trudging along. It's drudgery to him. His heart's not really in it. See, it can take on that type of meaning in regards to his travels. And falling on the context, I believe that is the predominant reason why these words are put in here. Number one, he's having to leave home on his own for the first time. Number two, he's under fear. He's a mystic, a religious mystic. And going along, obviously, his travels are not what he would prefer to do. He has no real faith rest in his life, and considering all the dangers, etc., and what the ultimate outcome might be, all that is up in the air, and his mindset is not one that would otherwise find pleasure and enjoyment knowing that this is God's will for his life and that God's going to protect him as God promised. And every day he has to get up and pick up his feet and move on. See, that's the idea. So, again, point 7, falling on the heels of the context, ending chapter 28, exposing Jacob's doubt and trusting God. It further insinuates carrying a mental burden of questionable success, or soulish, if you want to put it that way, in completing his travels, whether he'll get there safely or not. Going on a trip, a long trip, the best you can do is put it in God's hand, faith rest, and enjoy the ride. See, if tests come along, tests come along. 8, in spite of the self-induced misery, and that's all really this has created in his life, being anxious about the security of his life in spite of God's promises. This comes from his doubting Bible doctrine, God's promises with respect to his life, and what it creates in his life is self-induced misery. See, we bring a lot of our own suffering upon our own heads because we will not faith rest, we will not take the situation, put it in God's hands, and say, all right, God, you're in charge. You will keep me so that I can fulfill your plan for my life. No, rather, we get under sin, fear, anxiousness, and things of this nature and worry and constantly question everything that might or could possibly happen to us in our life. You do that, you got a miserable life, especially living in this world. People often mistake, I believe, just the believers who tend to have a carefree attitude in regards to life as simply not caring about things. No, you ever think about the fact that maybe they're just faith resting things. And they have a capacity to enjoy life in spite of the potential turmoil and catastrophes that might happen around them in otherwise. So 8, in spite of the self-induced misery, neutralizing any pleasure of travel, otherwise enjoyed, he eventually comes to the land of the sons of the east, Eres Ben Kadim. So no matter whether he had a bad attitude or a good attitude, he ends up at his destination. And usually that's the way it is. You know, you get under sin fear because of something that happened. Maybe you haven't heard from a family member, something en route or a child or whatever. And you're all wrapped around the axle. Blah, blah, blah. And eventually they show up. You go, crap, I could have rebounded. I could have had a faith rest there. So things will end as things will end. What are you going to do about it? Nine, the expression sons of the east, that phrase in quotes here, is a broad designation referring to peoples living east of Canaan, indicating his travels were eastward, outside of the promised land, outside the boundaries that God otherwise gave Abraham to show what the land would be ultimately. So Padam Aram, Haran is outside of Canaan, and he went towards the sunrise. So 10, he arrives at his destination, coming to a community well outside the town of Haran in verse 2. Leaving out the scene as he trips into the area. The scene is presented through the eyes of Jacob, per the phrase, he looked and saw, or he looked and behold. Raw, wow, henna. So it gives you a first-hand viewing of the scenario as Jacob experienced it. 12. Now the exclamatory language of the Hebrew henna is translated saw the first time, but it is exclamatory. Behold, look, with the exclamation mark. So the exclamatory language of the Hebrew henna, saw and behold, is used two times here to underscore Jacob's longing anticipation of completing his journey. It's like, finally, I'm here. Finally, something that is right about things in a certain way. Obviously, he's been out traveling, probably alone, almost all the way. And there are people, civilization, see. And him wanting to get his journey complete. 13, now the landscape, we can describe it here to a certain degree, around the well in the field, Be'er Bet HaSadeh, indicates open grazing ground rather than cultivated land. While today the area may be wilderness, has desert, dry climate, past history, these areas, as most people recognize, archaeologists, etc., was vastly different in the Middle East. And it was cultivated, had vegetation, etc., plenty to
raise cattle and sheep and things of this nature. 14, he further observed then three flocks of sheep, shalash eder tason, resting around the well, lounging. It's the middle of the day. They're by the water, and as we see, they can't get to the water. So, like good sheep, they just lay down. Now this well was used by all the shepherds of that area. Per the clause, from that well they watered the flocks. So it was a community type well. Obviously water was a precious resource, not found at every corner. And rather than hog it, they would combine their efforts, dig wells, and agree that everyone could use it for their own benefit. For from that well they watered flocks as ki min bir hahi shaka ha eder. 16. Now the source of the water was protected from contamination and other intruders by a large stone on the mouth of the well. Gadol ha eden ape ha bear. To keep water fresh, clean for the animals, etc., they would cover it up, and they would want something heavy enough that it would be difficult for anyone else to come in and exploit the well that wasn't otherwise part of the community or authorized, and to help keep debris out, keep it clean. 16 again, was protected from contamination and other intruders by a large stone on the mouth of the well. 17, verse 3 then informs us that the sheep herders waited until, quote, all the flocks were gathered, koha eder asaf, end quote. And then they would remove the stone one time and immediately replace it after all the sheep had opportunity to be watered. So rather than one shepherd coming in, one flock, moving the stone by himself, they just wait till everyone came in, their neighbors, their schedules were essentially synchronized in this regard, and remove it once, everybody gives their sheep water, and cover it back up, and everybody books it. So 18, so he's at the situation and with the scenario set. 18, Jacob then takes the initiative and asks the three shepherds a series of three questions in verses 4 through 6. A, first, where they were from, these shepherds. Obviously, they're not mentioned as shepherds there, but it's obvious you've got three flocks. How are they identified as being separate flocks? Well, they got three shepherds. So where they were from, that's verse 4. B, then if they knew Laban, the son of Nahor, verse 5. C, was it well with him, verse 6. So 19, the shepherds responded accordingly. We're from Haran. Yes, we know him. And indeed it is well. So the shepherds responded accordingly. And with respect to his inquiring of Laban's well-being, they inform him he can make in-depth inquiry since, quote, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. One of his children will arrive on the scene here shortly. And you can ask more, inquire further in regards to Laban. That's Bathbo in Ha-Tason. 20. Now, though not specifically mentioned, it is obvious this news sparks self-interest to Jacob as he seeks to manipulate the situation to gain privacy for her arrival then in verse 7. The author expects us to read a little bit between the lines here. verse 7, what's the deal with all these commands and trying to get the shepherds to leave? Well, he hears that Rachel's coming, Laban's daughter. And obviously now he tries to manipulate this scene so he can have a private introduction in regards to Laban's daughter. So, again, 20, though not specifically mentioned, it is obvious this news sparks self-interest to Jacob as he seeks to manipulate the situation to gain privacy for a rival in verse 7. His thinking, obviously, one of the commands he was given is to marry in one of Laban's daughters, and here's one coming up the hill or onto the scene. So 21, now in his tactics here, 21, Jacob comes off brash and self-confident as we learn that the time of his arrival was around high noon, Hayom Gadol. And he starts ordering the shepherds around. That's the way the scene jumps into verse 7. We know it's the peak of day. Now all of a sudden he starts telling these shepherds what to do. So he comes off brash. We see an air of self-confidence, like he doesn't expect any real backlash in the situation. So 22, he recognizes that the watering was a midday event at this point in time and tries to justify his actions. He at least gives some reasoning why he gives the orders. He tries to justify his actions, implying that they should really get back to work as if it was any of his business. And that's the way some people are. They like to stick their nose in business where it doesn't belong. Here, he's got some other twists of thinking going on. And he wants to try to find himself alone with Rachel when he meets her. So he starts issuing orders. They need to get back to work. Water the sheep. Go ahead and get the hell out of here. Doesn't give him any reason why, apart from the fact this is not the time that we gather the sheep for the end of the day. You shouldn't be sitting around resting on your dust. So 23, again, his rationalization was that it was not time for the livestock to be gathered, as they might be at the end of the day, to take them into their enclosures, etc., for safekeeping in the night, etc. And so they need to quickly continue point 23, quote, water the sheep and go pasture them. Shaka ha tason wa halak ra. 24, his self-interest here is in meeting Rachel, and his take charge position with the shepherds was to, quote, beat his chest, end quote, to oppress any that might notice. He's a new man on the block. He just showed up. And we see this macho approach take charge of the situation. I started ordering around. Man, this guy's mom has gotten into his head big time. We'll see it throughout it. His actions and things that he does. It's going to be basically mirrored his mom and her actions. And if she was a take charge type of person, ordering people around, ordering him around, etc. See. And here you kind of see this macho posture that he adopts so that he can have some influence. But we'll just see how macho that is as we continue on with this. I know what a lot of commentaries want to say here. But we'll look at that. 25, you got to remember, he is a believer still driven by energy of the flesh. He's running under his STA. So what he does, if you will, we would say, is cosmic in trying to accomplish his goals in life. So 26, they immediately inform him that they, quote, cannot until all the flocks are gathered, and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. That's verse 8. So 27, their argument is that they need more manpower in order to move the stone from the well. 28, now verse 10, jumping ahead, tells us that Jacob was able to move it by himself. 29, so what is going on that three shepherds together need additional help for the same action? Commentaries love to tout Jacob with a very unusual strength, a very strong individual. Where three shepherds can't move a stone, they need help, see, to do this. Well, no, there's a more logical answer. And that's point 30. The answer is that these shepherds were adolescent young boys, not really posing any physical threat to Jacob's intimidation tactics otherwise. Adolescents, younger children, were used quite commonly to shepherd the sheep. So this is a scene that he really runs across. He comes up on is three young kids, probably ages 12. It's still the same way in today's world. In other countries, they still practice this type of shepherding. Sheep are not that hard of a deal to handle. David, before he was king, he was a shepherd boy. See. So this whole thing, this whole macho thing, it's just Jacob taking advantage of the situation that there's no real threat. There's no real threat here to him. And being young kids, him being an adult, obviously he feels that he can order them around and get away with it and not have any repercussions physically or otherwise. So 31, his manipulative tactics of character reveal he is one to take advantage of the situation only when he considers the odds were substantially on his side. He is no fool. He's not going to go up and charge NFL football players shepherding the sheep and start ordering them around. See? Now, they're young kids. He can handle himself. They obviously recognizes that probably there were older young men that would come in later and combined. Then it was no big deal to move that stone. It doesn't mean that maybe even one of them could have moved it on their own, but why break your back when you got three other backs who can get in there and help you, see? And especially as kids, you don't want to be messing around. Parents wouldn't want them to be messing around, probably, with an object that they could easily hurt themselves. So 32, while he's still speaking with them, Debarim, at this juncture, Rachel, previously at some distance, comes into full view. 33, the narrator explains that, quote, she was a shepherdess, Ra'ah'i, meaning that the sheep were her father's. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to utilize these things in Jesus' name. Amen.